That's Billie Jean, the instrumental. Adrian West doing an instrumental of Billie Jean in the background. We opened up a little bit with it, and boy, do we have a show for you today. We have Adrian West for the whole hour. Welcome to Listening Lyrics, KDRT 95.7, right here in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastor, for the whole hour.
And guess who's with him?
And guess who's with me?
I'm trying to get away from the 1960s late night show. And here's Johnny, of our routine being exactly the same.
So we broke it up. Well, anyways, today, yes, we do have Adrian West. And I don't know, Jeannie, but to me, he is like the quintessential musician. He kind of blends a little bit of everything. When I hear the songs that we're going to be playing by him, they're unique in every way, so it's kind of fun listening to them.
I think unique is a good adjective for him.
Yes, and then the three or four songs he picked to represent his childhood, what got him into music, what influenced him and what blew him away artistically, they're all so different, and that also says something
about an artist.
Yeah, they're fabulous. And that also says something about an artist. So, that's what we're going to do today. And what have you got for us today?
I've got something that will never go away. The YOLO Food Bank. Hunger in rural areas is typically higher than the national average, and YOLO County is no exception. There are thousands of food insecure people in YOLO County, including more than 13,000 children. Founded in 1970, the YOLO Bank now serves 25,000 people every month, distributing 3 million pounds of food every year. If you need assistance, or if you can help with donations of food, funds, or your time, call 530-668-0690. So one of the songs that Adrian picked as an early childhood song was the Banana Boat song.
Right.
And I do remember that album. It was Harry Belafonte at Carnegie Hall. I think he recorded two. This was the first one. And I think it was right around 1959. So I would have been 12-ish. And I remember my mom going out to get the LP. And the whole album was just wonderful because it's so infused with that calypso style and beat and something totally different than the big band swing music that we were used to listening at home. There's another song on there that I remembered very well because it was called Man Smart, Woman Smarter, and that just struck a nerve with me.
Whoa, that was the beginning of...
I don't care just what they say. Women are smarter in every way. That's right. Women are smarter. So there you go with Harry Belafonte.
Well, that's great. So let's just get going then with the show.
All righty.
Okay, let's get Adrian on the line. On the line with me right now, coming to us from the Bay Area, San Francisco area, is Adrian West. Welcome, Adrian. Welcome back.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be with you.
It's always fun to have you. One of the things I like about your music, it's different. And I'm trying to find the words to describe it, but when I listen to your music, it's more than just the guitar and the bass and drums and a vocalist. You add strings and you add looping and you add all these other little elements that make it interesting for a set of ears.
Well, that's good to hear. I guess I try and strike a balance when I'm recording between taking advantage of the fact that I'm in a recording setting to embellish things, but not to take it too far because I don't want it to depart too far from what you will get if you come and see the band play live.
Right.
So I try and strike a balance there, but I'm glad that's working for you.
Yeah, yeah, good, good. Well, okay, so you're originally from Montreal. There you, I assume, went to a school that taught music. I'm assuming this, or maybe not.
Well, that's an interesting point. Not really. I mean, well, not so much in grade school or high school, but I was taking violin lessons the whole time. And that included some lessons at the McGill Conservatory of Music. So I did become a sort of a student there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that, it just so happens that in the high schools I attended, it had almost zero music programs, which was kind of
really
frustrating. Yeah.
Sad, sad. Okay. Were you in a band as a teenager?
Yes. A little bit in high school. And then more so in college, and then even more so right after college. But yeah, the stuff in high school, it never went anywhere. It was just fooling around. But yeah, I mean, in college and right after college, I got into some bands that I really enjoyed.
Good. Your parents, were they musical?
My grandfather, on my father's side, was a very good Irish fiddler.
Oh.
But as far as I know, that's the only strong musical background in the last two generations.
Okay. Did they listen to music?
My dad listened to music constantly, okay. Mostly classical and jazz. I'd say, you know, to a point where it... I don't really like classical and jazz very much. And I don't know if it's partly because I heard too much of it when I was a kid.
Right.
Not sure.
Okay. You mentioned one of the songs that you remember as a child is the Banana Boat song by Harry Belafonte. How does that jog your memory? Why that song?
Yeah, well, precisely because it wasn't jazz or classical. You know, it was a song that my dad put on. And I think it was partly because he knew it was, you know, a little bit more approachable, accessible for us kids, you know, me and my siblings.
Right.
But it really stood out because it was really fun.
Right.
So that's why I put that on there. I forget what exactly you had asked for, just a song from my childhood.
A song you remember as a child, you're right.
Yeah, I just remember that being really fun and so different from the other stuff that my dad was always playing on the radio or on the record player that it stood out for that reason.
Right. Well, it had a great hook, that opening line. If you were around in those years, that, hey, oh, you know exactly where it's going, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A great, great opening hook. Okay, so then you fiddled around playing in music and that. You ended up coming to California for, I think, education, if I recall.
Let me just back up one second and say that somewhere in there, I also switched over to drums. I had been playing violin until the age of 14, but then I got sick of it. Well, sick of it. I didn't really enjoy the music I was playing. It was all classical music. I got kind of tired of that. My dad, to his credit, said, well, you know, you should try, you know, some other styles. Try some bluegrass, try some French-Canadian fiddling, try some Irish fiddling. And I just didn't take him up on that. I should have, but I didn't.
Right.
Instead, I said, no, I want to try playing drums. So started playing drums in high school. And then, yes, my first trip to California was when I was 16. My dad got a sabbatical leave. He was a university professor.
Okay.
The whole family, well, it was just me and my parents at that point. My siblings were older. Lived in California, in Davis, for a year.
Right.
That was a great year. For one thing, Davis High had a fantastic music program. I was in their orchestra. Richard Burnell, probably all about Richard Burnell. So that was that year. And then you want me to jump ahead to how I ended up here permanently? Because that was just one year. Then I went back to Montreal.
Yeah, well, so now you're here. We don't need to go into all those details. So you settled here, you're settled in the Bay Area, and now you've decided music is still in you. And did you join a band, form a band, or start performing on your own?
So I do want to just say that, like, after that year in Davis, I went back to Montreal, right. And I was in, you know, college and then two more bands. And I mentioned that because that was really very influential. I played drums in those bands and some violin. So by the time I'm settled back in California, which is, about 10 years later, I've been in two bands and I really enjoyed that, but not to the point where I decided to go into music full time. So then I moved back to California to be with my wife, who I actually had met here in that earlier year in California. And no, I'm not really pursuing music at first. I'm like, okay, let's do other things. And I actually focus mainly on work, for at least 6 years or so. And then picked up the guitar and started focusing on that and tried my hand at songwriting and started going to open mics and seeing how that felt. There's an open mic in San Francisco at the Bazaar Cafe, which is a really sweet open mic. Very talented people went there, very supportive community. There was several in the Berkeley area. And so I started attending those and trying my hand at that. And then I guess after a couple of years of that, I decided to try and play with other musicians here. I joined a duo with a friend of mine, Kwame Copeland. We called it Montreal Weekend. Did that for a couple of years. And then, yeah, I just started after, you know, started creating groups that played just my music.
Perfect. Well, before we go on, let's have listeners listen in on one of your selections. And this one happens to be an all instrumental, A Day by the Sea. Mm-hmm. Is there any looping in that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's, I thought I heard that. Yeah. Wonderful tune, wonderful sounds. Let's listen to it and then we can talk about it. Here we go. Adrian West, A Day by the Sea. Thank you. Okay, Adrian, you said there was some looping involved. Do you use that in your live performances now too?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
So that recording was live, and so the looping that I did in that recording is exactly what I would do when I play it live.
Okay.
I try and use looping strictly to sort of embellish and enhance a song, an arrangement, a composition. I try not to fall into the trap where the looping is driving the creative process. Sometimes that gets repetitive.
Right. Okay. Now you're doing your thing here. How has COVID, since performing is a little more than difficult these days, how has COVID influenced you artistically?
You know, I like performing a lot, and so I used to perform at farmers markets a lot, and I had figured out how to supply my own power when playing at farmers markets and street festivals and things like that. So when this hit and I couldn't, you know, there are no more gigs in venues, I quickly tried to figure out how I could continue performing, and I started having little concerts in parks, mainly in Emeryville, which is right next to Oakland, and started doing that about once every 2 or 3 weeks, and those have been working quite well and have kept my sort of performance schedule going. Mm-hmm. And I'd say because of that, it hasn't had a huge effect on me. It's not like it's you know, created such a huge shift that it has changed any creative process. It's not like I suddenly have way more time to write or anything like that. So I can't really say that there's that huge of a difference.
Okay. Do people social distance on their own, or does the city have circles drawn in the park where people can sit?
Social distance on their own.
Okay. And they're doing it.
And they're doing it, yes.
Good. Okay. Hey, we talked a little bit about your background, and you said one of the songs that influenced your career was a song, Swedish Boats by the Good Cookies, in which you played the drums. I want to play just a snippet of that right now, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
It all comes down, it all goes round, it all comes down to this. Crossing the North Sea, burn tables and chairs on deck to stay warm. Swedish boats, what port is this? Well, I lost you in the mist. No, it wasn't, it couldn't have been. Live on your own, but you hardly
You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm talking here with Adrian West. He's coming to us from the Bay Area, San Francisco area. And the song you just heard is Swedish Boats. It's one of the earlier songs that he played the drums on way back in the day when you were still, what, a teenager at that time?
No, that was early 20s.
Okay. So why is that song so influential for you?
It's an example of a song where I remember being on stage playing that song or other songs by the writers in the bands that I was in. So I didn't write these songs, but I was playing them and I was contributing to them. And I just remember enjoying the experience of playing these songs so much. It was a real high point, and it made me realize, well, if it were possible to do a lot of this, I would totally go for that. This is just great. It's ecstatic, and it's because it's one of those rare experiences where everyone is benefiting. The performers are having a good time performing for the audience, and the audience is having a good time listening. It's very symbiotic. Those moments are precious. And I realized, well, this is a setting where you can create those moments.
Right.
And so there are a few like that. And there have been tons since. So, you know, I was right. It really is a sustainable form of enjoyment. The thing I would say, though, is that, like, the word career, I'm not sure I have a career in music. I'm not sure I want a career in music, because when it starts to become the source of income and feels like a job, I worry that it'll be less enjoyable.
You know, you articulated something that just occurred to me when you said it's a rare moment when the artist and the people enjoying the art share the enjoyment at the same time. That is so different than a sculptor, a writer, even a songwriter. They are creating something and maybe enjoying it that they've created it. And then much later in time, whoever looks or appreciates that is enjoying it. Whereas music is one of the few, it's really the only one I think I can think of, except maybe, for maybe sports.
Theater.
Well, yeah, theater and sports, you know, their players love the game. And so, but when it comes to art, it's very unique. I'm going to sit back and enjoy a concert more just knowing that now. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to play another one of your songs here. This one, we're going to hear your vocals, and they're very nice in this one. It's called In My Heart.
Thank you. wish you would talk to me. To know. The colors she cannot see. On the inside, love is watching
Adrian. Is that a new song that you just put out? Because the vocals are beautiful in that.
Thank you very much. Not terribly new. I think, you know, it was on the CD that was released in 2019.
Okay.
So relatively new, but I've written quite a few songs since then. So in that sense, okay. Not super new. And thank you. Those vocals include my wife, Jennifer, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I think I know the answer to this because we've talked about it, but what's more gratifying to you, writing, recording, or performing?
Probably performing.
Right. Yeah. I thought you'd answer it that way.
Speaks to that, what we were just talking about, you know, that
right.
Immediate gratification.
Right. Does writing or recording ever really frustrate you?
Well, certainly. There's some real uphill climbs. In particular, you know, my process for writing songs is always to start with the music.
Right.
I always put together the entire song, the melody, the bridge, the arrangement, pretty much. And it's only when I feel like, okay, yeah, that hangs together musically, that I then take on the task of putting lyrics. And okay. That part there, if I don't, sometimes I have nothing. I have no idea, not a single line or word. And I just have to start working it and playing with it. And that can be really hard.
Okay. Well, interesting. The performing part of it. Do you get a sense if that you have the audience or you've lost the audience? And do you have a trick if you've lost the audience, how to get them back?
I feel like telling a funny story to answer that.
Go, do it.
Sometimes I remember, particularly when I used to play at farmers markets a lot, where, you know, people will stroll by and they'll stop and watch and then they'll move on.
Right.
Sometimes I would see who was gathered. Maybe there'd be like, you know, three or four people who would stop to listen. And I would just be heading into a solo or something on my violin. And I often close my eyes when I solo. It just helps me to concentrate. Right. So I would close my eyes and I would solo. And in my mind, I would imagine that these people were just becoming more and more riveted with what I was doing. And maybe they had told other people to stop and listen. And maybe there was an even larger crowd now listening.
But they're texting their friends to come.
Yeah, exactly. But invariably, what would happen is when I would open my eyes, they'd be gone.
But when you're on the stage performing, let's just say a bar is very difficult. It's very easy to lose your audience in a bar, right? I mean, there's a lot of bars. They have the sports going and you're singing and all of this. But in an audience where someone is sort of listening, I'm sure there are times where you sense, wait a minute, this, I've got to do something different.
Well, actually, I've thought about it. And I've noticed that when I'm listening to music, even good music that I'm enjoying, live music.
Right.
My mind might wander. My head, my eyes might wander. I might yawn.
Right.
I might check my phone. I might talk to the person next to me. I try not to do that. But what I've noticed is you can do all those things and still be listening to and enjoying the music.
Right.
I don't. So there's no, you know, we listen with our ears, not with our bodies and our eyes. So I've kind of learned to let go of that. And like, if people don't look like they're riveted, that's okay. They're probably still hearing it and hopefully still enjoying it.
Okay. Good answer. Alrighty. A song that blew you away artistically, and we're going off in a completely different genre now. That is a song called Adagio for Strings.
Adagio for Strings.
Oh, Adagio for Strings, yes. How did that grab you?
I have to say that I'm pretty sure the first time I heard it was when I saw the movie Full Metal Jacket, which is, that's a Stanley Kubrick film, right? And
yeah,
it's the theme song. And but, you know, that's where I was introduced to it. But I went back and sought it out and listened to it often. And I mentioned that I'm not a huge fan of classical music usually.
Right.
This is classical music.
Right.
Classical music frustrates me sometimes because, and I think it's, you know, my fault. It's like I think maybe I'm just not sophisticated enough.
Right.
But I find that it meanders. You know, it establishes some themes and then it plays with them. And about 2 to 3 minutes into it, I'm usually lost and kind of bored.
Right.
But I do like change. And I do like music to change.
Right.
And so I think that what's cool about pop music and rock music, the stuff that I like, is that it changes, but not too much. It changes in a way that kind of repeats and is predictable, but not too predictable. It's comforting. It grabs you. Right. It carries you through. I don't ever feel lost. I just feel interested. Well, this is a piece of classical music that does that. For me, it changes, but it just keeps me engaged the whole time, and even, like, you know, it has a definite climax. It's just got everything I like in music bundled into this one movement.
Perfect. Well, while you were talking about it, we played it lightly in the background, and so everybody knows there was four guys that are in the Amstel Quartet performing that. So,
well, that's interesting. That's interesting because, I mean, it's originally a chamber orchestra piece, so it's usually performed by a string orchestra.
Right.
But yeah, I found these guys on YouTube who did it with four horns, and that's another amazing right. thing about this piece is that, like, right. it's so complex, but it all you can boil it down to four voices.
Right.
And in this case, saxophones. Isn't that, they're
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, 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 truly is. Okay, let's move on here a little bit. You get a phone call and someone says, hey, so-and-so's in town. Would you open for him? Who would that so-and-so be on your dream ticket, huh?
My wildest dreams?
Yeah.
It'll be the
alive,
Dave
alive.
Dave Matthews Band.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that's one of the bands you picked as an artist you still admire the most today.
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty. Yeah. I'm a little bit out of touch with music, to be honest,
right.
with who's out there. But I probably I'm out of touch even with Dave Matthews and his more recent stuff. But going back to These Crowded Streets and Under the Table and Dreaming. Those right. two albums really stand out for me, and I really, really, really admire them.
Perfect. Okay. We're going to hear another one of your songs now. It's called Speak Your Mind. It started out for me as a very sad song. Very sad. Very lonely lady in a big city. And but what got me is it's a great story. That's a story song. You just have to, you just want to hear what's next. So let's take a listen to you singing Adrian West, Speak Your Mind.
I feel like I've seen you before, maybe at the record store. I can't believe the sky is clear, how long you've been living here. I just arrived a year ago, do you like it? I don't know. What's your story, what's your deal? Keep it honest, keep it real. No need to don a mask, everybody's got a past. It could sparkle, it could shine, or it could be a big waste of time. But you know, there's only one way to go. When the road you're on is a lonely one,
Adrian, tell us about how did that story come to you?
Well, there I had read reports that the United Kingdom had decided, the government of the United Kingdom had decided that loneliness was becoming such a problem among their population that they needed to do something about it. And they created a ministry of loneliness, whose job it was to combat loneliness. This is a real thing. Although I checked the other day and it doesn't seem to be that active now, but they made a concerted effort. Programs, they solicited the postal service to help it by checking in on people and all kinds of stuff. And from there, I watched a documentary about loneliness, again, based in the UK. And it just inspired the idea to write a song about loneliness. And as for the story itself, no particular
right
source there. It's just kind of what right. happened.
I had to smile when you said the Ministry of Loneliness. I could just see it in our country. You've got the president and his cabinet, and yeah, I'm Secretary of State. This and the, oh yeah, and I'm the head of the loneliness ministry. Yeah. And you have to be very lonely to be the head of that.
That's right. It sounds like something out of Monty Python.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I saw a YouTube about a couple in New York who were maybe my age, okay, mid-70s, and husband and wife, and they set up a table twice a week in downtown New York, I guess before the COVID hit, I'm sure, because I saw this 2 or 3 years ago. And all they did was put up a sign, and it said, tell us your story. And they just wait for people to sit and talk to them.
Really?
And they said it wasn't so much because they were focused on loneliness. It wasn't so much people were lonely. It's people were just craving to tell their story.
Wow.
So
that's very nice.
It's very nice. And I've always thought, I wonder if I could get away with doing that in Davis. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure you could get away with it. But I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, the song is called Speak Your Mind, and the chorus says, when the road you're on is a lonely one, speak your mind, and then you might find a friend. And here, I guess there is a story behind that. When I watched this documentary about lonely people, invariably, you came away, I'm sure I wasn't the only one, anyone watching this would say, well, that's a very interesting person. That's a very person. Why are they lonely?
Right.
And it points to the problem being, well, how do you get your personality out there? How do you, speak your voice, speak your mind? How do you get known?
Right. And
I don't have an answer to that. I guess there's lots of ways. So, you can join all kinds of groups. There's lots of ways to do it. And that's what you need to do, or at least that's part of what you need to do to combat loneliness, is get out there and just make yourself known.
Right. Well, that was an interesting little thing they had going. And to cap it all off, this couple in New York was rather well off. And this one person told them about, their hardships and schooling and all of that. And a year later, they checked up on this gal and she still needed money and they gave her some money. So, yeah.
That's nice.
I'm not in that position. So anyways, okay. We're slowly running out of time here. We've talked about your most gratifying work. We've talked about a little bit about your background. The internet itself, the business aspect of music, of selling music, how has that impacted musicians like yourself today compared to 5-10 years ago? Even 5 years ago, you could sell CDs at a concert. Today, that's probably impossible. Right. Or you could, but I mean, it's hardly worth it.
Right. Well, that's a complicated question. I mean, I think it's kind of a twofold thing. On the one hand, people aren't making money off of their recorded music anymore.
Right.
On the other hand, they are able to get their music out to people, to more people, very easily, very cheaply. And maybe that does help them get people to come to shows.
Right.
But even then, people coming to shows, I have found it's a very fun experience playing shows, but it's not a very lucrative one.
Right.
So I don't know. I'll just say I really feel for people who are relying on this for their income.
Right.
It's not easy.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun talking to you.
And before we go, if people want to know about you, adrianwest.com.
Correct. Yeah.
And on there you have links to your Facebook, your Instagram.
That's right.
Everything. All of that kind of stuff.
All of that stuff.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, Jeannie, that was a great interview with Adrian. Insightful. Loved every minute of it. Loved his choices. And his choices in both music he remembers and influenced him and his own music. Again, thank you, Adrian, for we're going to go out with a song by Dave Matthews called Stay or Leave. This is one that Adrian picked because he feels it is an artist he is one of the most admired today, and it certainly is a great song. Do you remember that song?
I don't remember a lot of Dave Matthews, but I know he is a wordsmith.
Right.
And he also has very unusual rhythms. But the chorus in this song, I think, is just perfect. With a name like Stay or Leave, the chorus says, I want you not to go, but you should.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, before we play Dave Matthews' Stay or Leave, do you have any thoughts on Adagio that he picked?
Yes. The first time I became aware of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings was probably 1989 or 1990, because it was in the closing scene of the movie Platoon, which was a...
Platoon, yeah.
Which was a Vietnam War movie.
Right.
And the end was absolutely devastating. The music was absolutely beautiful. And doing some research on it, it was written back in 1936 when Samuel Barber was in his mid-20s.
Wow.
So for an artist to come up with something with so much impact at such a young age is really quite remarkable.
Perfect. Let's listen to Dave Matthews' Stay or Leave. Thank you, Jeannie.
Okay, anytime.
Different but remember, winter's warm there, you and I, kissing whiskey by the fire, with the snow outside. In the summer comes, the river swims at midnight, shiver cold, touch the bottom, you and I, with muddy toes. Stay or leave, I want you not to go, but you should. It was good as good goes. Stay or leave, I want you not to go, but you did. Drinking coffee, making plans to change the world, while the world is changing us. Was good, good love. You used to laugh under the covers, maybe not so often now, the way I used to laugh with you was loud and harsh. Stay or leave, I want you not to go, but you should. It was good as good goes. Stay or leave, I want you not to go, but you did. So what to do with the rest of today's afternoon, hey? Isn't it strange how it changed everything we did? Did I do all that I should? That I could have done? Remember we used to dance and everyone wanted to be you and me. I want to be too. What day is this besides the day you left me? What day is this besides the day you went sweet? what to do with the rest of the day's afternoon. Hey, isn't it strange how we change everything we did? Did I do all that I could? Remember we used to dance and everyone wanted to be you and me. I want to be too. What day is this besides the day you went in? What day is this?
Nothing like getting a little hit of Dave Matthews. That was him singing Stay or Leave. You've been listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show. I'm your host, Peter Pastor, along with Jeannie, and we interviewed Adrian West for the hour. And we're going to go out with a little special treat for you all. We're going to play Wallbanger by Adrian West. It's a little different than what you've heard during the show, but I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Here we go, Adrian West, Wallbanger.